He winked at her. Only fuel and my urges splattered the walls of his fucking brains. I chuckled. That's exactly what it looked like, Ma, when he's facing your tits a few minutes ago, I shouted, causing everyone around us to stop what they're doing and turn their attention to us. Phoenix and Diesel came barreling through the crowd, pushing people out of the way to get to me. Creed, be reasonable, bro. Don't want to do this. Prez won't fucking like it, and Martinez won't think twice about putting a bullet in your head, Phoenix gritted out in my ear. Had that backward. Who's holding the gun to whose head? I taunted, not backing down.
It's not what you think. Now put the gun down, Creed.
Mom ordered again. You sticking up for this cocky-ass motherfucker?
He was just keeping me company while your father is off doing God knows what.
I know what, but that's neither here nor there, Martinez interrupted, baiting me with a snide smile. You got some brass fucking balls stepping in here, fuck around with the Prez's wife, I stated through a clenched jaw, putting more force on his temple. Oh, is that what you think is going on here? Believe me, if I was fucking around with her, you'd hear her scream my goddamn name. You cocksucking son of a bitch! I got up in his face, my finger itching to pull the trigger. My mother screamed.
That is enough! Jameson!
Hauling at the top of her lungs for my father. He isn't going to hear you, sweetheart. Last I saw, he was riding off into the sunset with a brunette with huge tits on the back of his bike, heading up Route 60. Shut your fucking mouth! I shoved the gun further into his head, causing him to sway. The look on her face alone caused the adrenaline that had been coursing through my veins to soar high. I couldn't fucking see straight. Have you ever shot a man? Have you ever had the pleasure of feeling what it's like to end someone's existence with a bullet? There is no feeling like it. Do it, son! Pull the fucking trigger! Here, I'll help you out. Martinez goaded, grabbing the barrel of the gun, moving it to the middle of his forehead. Right here. Right here is the sweet spot. I stilled my hand, squeezing the trigger ever so slightly. Do it! I don't have all fucking night to die. Come on, Creed. Show everyone in this room that you have the balls to shoot a man point blank like your daddy. Do it, you pussy. Pull the fucking trigger. Creed, don't do this, Phoenix pleaded, grabbing a hold of my shoulder. Creed, 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 Creed. All I could hear was my name being yelled in the distance, echoing in my ears, driving me to the point of insanity. So loud. So unforgiving. Fuck you! I yelled, my lungs burning from the anger I felt rising. Sweat pooled in my temples, my breathing becoming erratic. Fuck! I swiftly jerked my hand a few inches to the right of his face, pulling the fucking trigger. Martinez didn't even flinch. The bullet flew past his head through the air, ricocheting off the rusted steel beam behind him, and into who was really yelling my name.
No!
My mother's ear-piercing scream resonated from deep within her lungs, echoing off the warehouse walls and through the room. Her body almost caved to the ground in unbearable pain. I glanced over at her, narrowing my eyes, searching deep into her petrified expression. I had never seen that look on her face before. It immediately had my heart pounding against my ribcage, racing hard. Her trembling hands covered her mouth.
What did you do, Creed? What the fuck did you do?
She bellowed in a quivering tone, shaking her head in fear, causing me to inadvertently stumble back as I slowly turned, trying to fall the side of her horrified glare. My chest heaved, unable to hold back my hammering heart any longer. I could hear the drone in my ears loud and clear. Everything that followed happened in slow motion, like reels from a black and white movie, projecting out in front of me. The sound of the bullet replayed in the background. I jerked back when the scene came into focus. The image that would forever haunt me for the rest of my sorry excuse of a fucking life. I shuddered. The gun fell from my grasp to the floor with a loud thud as all eyes went to the horrid mess before him. Chaos erupted, people running to and from the room one right after the other. Women screaming out in terror, brothers ushering bystanders out, pushing them to the doors quickly. The music ceased, and all the lights came on, only illuminating what I had done.
Do something! Don't just stand there!
Ma begged, looking around the room. Black-streaked tears ran down her cheeks, pooling on the floor beneath her. My world was caving in on me. My walls crumbled down, and the floor felt like it would swallow me whole. Bile rose in my throat, threatening to exit my body at the sickening display in front of me. My life as I knew it was over. Luke's eyes widened as he lost his footing, trying to remain upright.
Creed,
he cautiously breathed out, looking at me with a gaze in his eyes that would forever be etched in my mind. is that the man standing in front of him wasn't me, his brother. Is that the man standing in front of him wasn't his own flesh and blood. Is that the man standing in front of him hadn't protected and defended him all his life, but instead a stranger who had just shot him in the chest. Chapter 4. Creed. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't take my eyes off the antagonizing expression written across my baby brother's face. As his hands moved down toward his chest, so did my eyes, following the trail of blood that was seeping through his white shirt. He slowly lifted his shaken hand, placing it near his heart, gasping for air, peering back up at me as blood trickled out of his mouth.
Help me,
he sputtered, reaching his now blood-soaked hand from me like we were the only two people in the room.
No!
Mom fell apart. The terror in her voice ran deep in my being. A mother's worst nightmare came to life. Before I knew what was happening, she was lunging across the room, catching Luke's limp body as it collapsed to the ground. He was unable to hold himself up any longer.
Jameson!
She yelled, calling out for my father.
Do something! Creed! Help! No! Please, God, no!
She hysterically repeated, trying to stop the bleeding with her shaking hands on Luke's chest, cradling her baby in her arms, rocking him uncontrollably. I acted on pure impulse, my body moving on autopilot as I rushed at them, falling to my knees the last second, ignoring the instant sting the hard cement brought on. His body started to convulse, more blood spewed out of his trembling lips as he looked up at me with vacant eyes. I placed my hands over my mother's, trying to help her stop the blood from gushing out, searching to find where the bullet hit him. Everyone out, Phoenix ordered. Now! I heard people scattering around us, like a herd, leaving a path of destruction in their wake. Luke, buddy, you stay with me, goddammit. Do you hear me? I demanded with tears sliding down my face onto his broken body, letting my eyes roam over what I had done. Quickly removing my cut, I pulled my t-shirt over my head, balling it up and pushing my ma's hands out of the way. I gently laid him on the floor, my eyes blurred with nothing but tears, making it hard to see what I was doing. Stay with me, Luke. Do you hear me? Stay with me. I felt his face in my hands, blood smearing on his cheeks. Fight. Fucking fight. I ripped his shirt open and found where he had been hit, discovering the gaping hole right above his heart, hastily shoving my blood-soaked shirt in his wound. Hey, look at me. I need you to put as much pressure as possible on this, Ma. I grabbed her hands, placing them back on the wound. She looked up at me with swollen eyes. Now! Stumbling up to my knees, I tore off my belt, immediately rolling him to his side to wrap the belt around his chest and pulled tight. More blood rolled from the corner of his mouth onto the floor. Luke, look at me. Come on. Open your eyes. Stay with me. I slapped his cheeks. Nothing. Silence. I was shaking so fucking bad. My heart thumped in my chest, vibrating throughout my entire core. Every last part of me was dying right along with him. I'd done some shady-ass shit, been in some life-or-death situations, and never been so scared of my fucking life as I pulled Luke into my arms, checking to see if he was still breathing. Checking to see if he was still alive.
Creed.
Mom wept, her voice broken and torn, looking up at me with pleading eyes to save him.
God, please take me instead.
She pleaded over and over. Luke, I cried, cradling his frame against my chest. He was unresponsive. Fuck, we're losing him! I held my dying brother in my arms while I watched my mother slowly dying on the floor in front of me.
Someone call 911,
she urged, desperately looking around the room. Somebody, help! Why is no one helping? Why are you all standing there? Do something! I screamed over and over again until my throat was burning and raw. No one budged. They all knew what calling 911 meant. Cops being called to the clubhouse had never allowed. It was a code of conduct no one would fucking break, even if it meant innocent lives were lost. Fucking call 911, you fucking pussies! I locked eyes with the brothers, silently pleading for them to break. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so fucking sorry. I bawled, rocking Luke in my tight grasp. Mom trembled, wrapping her arms around him, still putting pressure on the wound with a shaking hand.
Please, God. Please help my baby. Please, I'll do anything. Don't take my baby. Please, not my baby. Jamie's son!
She took him out of my arms, cradling his limp body, holding on to him for dear life.
Mama's here. Stay with me. I can't lose you. You hear me? Stay with me.
She whispered, still trying to get the blood to stop.
Fuck! Jameson, help! Where are you?
She pleaded, pulling him closer, rocking him back and forth, blubbering incoherent words while trying to comfort him, holding on to hope that this is all a horrible nightmare she'd wake up from soon.
Creed, they aren't doing anything. Call 911 now!
I spring into action, running to the phone that was on the far wall, my hands shaking as I start to dial. Bloody fingerprints covered the numbers. Give me that! I heard my father grit out, coming out of nowhere, yanking the receiver out of my grasp and hitting end. Quickly dialing another number. Yeah, Joseph, he said calmly to the on-call doctor he had on payroll. I need you here, stat. He hung up like this is normal, like he didn't fucking care that his son was lying in a pool of his own blood.
Joseph, why aren't you calling?
He peered back at my mother, rendering her speechless. Jesus Christ, what the fuck happened? He snapped, running his hands through his hair, taking in all the gore that lined the room. The rusty smell of blood assaulted his senses, potent in the air. I peered around the room for the first time since a ricochet bullet hit Luke's chest. Phoenix, Stone, and Diesel were the only ones left in the room, hanging their heads in remorse. Then my eyes landed on Martinez, his cold, dark, soulless eyes staring back at me, fueling my hatred for him. Your son here decided to fuck with the devil, Martinez stated, peering down at my mother, holding Luke's lifeless body. He was trying to have a pissing contest with me tonight, and clearly he lost. Teach him how to have better aim next time. The motherfucker turned and walked to the exit, turning at the last second, peering down at my mother. My condolences, Diane, he added in a tone filled with sympathy. I know what it's like to lose someone you love. My mother was brutally murdered right in front of me. She died in my arms. He bowed his head, turned, and left. I wanted to run after him and finish what I had started. I wanted him to pay for this, but I couldn't. An invisible force held me back. I was the one who pulled the trigger. I was the one who killed my baby brother. This was no one's fault but mine. I reached for the phone again, but Pop shoved me back. What the fuck did you do, boy? I couldn't help it. The fucking shame was eating me alive. It was an accident. I swear to fucking God, it was an accident. I repeated, barely being able to get the words out. Mama, what's going on? A sleepy-eyed Noah came walking in. Where did Luke go? Diesel acted quick, scooping him up before he saw anything. Ma looked up, torn, as Noah was rushed out of the room.
Let him call 911. Jameson, it was an accident. Where the fuck were you?
Mom questioned, bringing our attention back to her, her eyes still focused on the hall where Noah was escorted out. Accident or not, we can't call the cops. Want your son to go to prison? He replied, ignoring her question, not giving a fuck what Noah was about to walk into. She shook her head violently, finally understanding.
No, not Creed, I can't.
It was an accident, I shouted back, reaching from the phone again. He jerked it away, shoving me harder, causing me to stumble from weakness, ready to pull a gun on me. We will all go to prison over this, he said, his eyes dancing from me over to the brothers. She shook her head again, closing her eyes, trying to compose herself or possibly praying to God.
You fucking bastard,
she wailed. I'm trying to save all our asses. Do you want to lose another son? I stepped away from him until my back hit the wall. The truth of his words was too much for me to bear. I slid down the wood paneling, slowly sinking further into the corner of my own mind, into my own personal hell, tuning them out, pulling my knees close to my chest, letting tears fall down the sides of my face. I thought about all the happy memories I'd shared with Luke. I remember the first time he crawled. His first words, the first time he said my name. I opened my eyes, locking them with his. I willed myself to look away, but I couldn't. I forced myself to face what I had done. Remembering the love those eyes once held, every time I told him I loved him and the first time he said, I love you, back, and every time since, telling him how I'd always be there for him no matter what, promising to always protect him, how earlier that day we were shooting the shit about girls and life. I reached in my pocket, pulling Luke's necklace out, holding it up to my lips, clenching his protector in my hands and bawling harder. The irony wasn't lost on me. All those memories were gone in the blink of an eye. Now a place of blood. So much fucking blood. Blink. Joseph hurried in with MC Brothers behind him. Blink. Pulling my baby brother from my mama's arms. Blink. Performing CPR. Blink. Mama praying, sobbing, falling apart. Blink. Luke's lifeless eyes staring at me. Blink. Joseph filling syringes. Blink. An MC brother picking Mama up off the floor and taking her out the door. She kicked and screamed. Blink. A black bag being zipped, swallowing Luke's bloody body. Blink. Chaos. Blink. More chaos. Blink. Nothing but chaos. Blink. An MC brother trying to stand me up. Blink. 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 Blackness. Luke was buried on Thursday, September 26th, in the middle of the night, 4 a.m. to be exact. Phoenix, Stone, and Diesel carried him in a black body bag to the furthest field beyond the woods, located behind the clubhouse. A few other MC brothers babysat my mother, who was sedated on the couch inside. Pops slipped a Xanax in her water a few hours before. It was the only way he could get away with burying Luke the way he did. He was going to let her come to the makeshift grave once the dirty work was over, and there was no evidence left of my brother. Only memories. Every time I closed my eyes, all I could see was Luke's lifeless eyes staring back at me. I remember every step I took, falling behind my father. I remember the thick, suffocating fog in the night air that came after the rain we had gotten the day before. The way the wind blew a cool breeze through the trees, skimming the surface of my overly heated skin. I remember the sounds of twigs cracking beneath our boots, the noises from the birds and owls along with whatever else lurked in the woods. Most of all, I remember feeling so much fucking hatred for my father for not giving Luke, his son, a proper burial, just wanting to throw him in a field along with countless other bodies the club had taken. Luke deserved better. He didn't fucking deserve that. I watched Phoenix, Diesel, and Stone start digging his grave, and I swear to God all I wanted to do was dig my own fucking grave beside him. I would take being buried alive over having to live with what I had done. My father ordered them to stop digging, took the shovel right out of Stone's grasp. You did this. He's dead because of you, boy. Now, I'm not going to make my brothers pay for your sins. You dig that grave and lay your brother to rest in it. I want you to remember that he's 6 feet under because of you. Next time, you better keep your goddamn mouth shut. Mouthing up to Martinez, you piece of shit. Could have cost a huge alliance. He threw the shovel at my face, daring me to defy him. I didn't argue. I didn't say a word. He was right. I gripped the shovel tight, welcoming the pain from the blisters forming on my palms, and dug Luke's grave while everyone watched. I could sense that the brothers didn't agree with what my old man was making me do, but they knew better than to open their fucking mouths, not wanting to end up like Stryker. I knew this was the real reason he drugged my mother. There was no way in hell she would allow him to punish me this way. I kept my emotions in check, forcefully driving the blade into the hard ground over and over again. I didn't deserve to mourn the life I had taken. I deserved far fucking worse than what was happening to me. The closer I got to finishing digging my brother's grave, the more pissed off I got. The thought of Luke's body rotting away in this black, insect-infested hole without any barriers to protect him where he would just rot away. A day, a month, a year from now. All that would be left of him were his bones. I prayed to God he already took Luke's soul and he wasn't left to wander the world as a spirit, unable to rest in peace. I tried to tell myself the Lord couldn't be that cruel, but in the end, what fuck had he done for me? Not a goddamn thing. That's enough, Dad ordered, pulling me away from my thoughts. Get your ass out of that hole and come get your brother. You're going to carry him into the ground by your damn self, and then you're going to bury him by your fucking self, too. Prez, we can... You can shut your fucking mouth. That's what you can do. He cut Phoenix off, looking from me to him and back to me. I'm not going to tell you again, Creed. Get your brother and lay his fucking ass to rest. His large hands grabbed me by the front of my shirt and lifted me out, shoving me over by Luke's body. I regained my footing before landing on him. Taking a deep breath, I did as I was told. It took everything inside me not to fall apart when I picked up Luke's body into my arms, carrying him over to the hole, stalling, wanted to remember every last second before I gently placed him in his purgatory. I wanted to unzip the black bag. I wanted to see his face one last time to properly say goodbye. There was so much I wanted to say, but no words would make things right. No amount of time would bring him back. So all I did was cradle his cold body as close as I could to my broken heart. Wanted to, at least, remember the feel of him in my arms. "I'm so fucking sorry, little brother," I whispered, my voice cracking with each word that left my lips. "Let go of him, Creed, and get your ass out of that hole," Pops gritted his teeth. "Please, let me say goodbye. Just fucking allow me that. I don't give a fuck what you're pleading for. The only thing you deserve is to be lying in the ground instead of him. To get your ass back up here so you can bury him." "Jesus Christ, just let me... fucking hell." He jumped into the hole to pry Luke out of my arms, ran me back as hard as he could, making my back connect with the uneven earth. I winced in pain, welcoming the sting from my wounded shoulder, needing to feel anything other than the remorse and ache in my fucking heart. He wrestled Luke's body from my grasp and just threw him to the ground as if he were nothing, as if Luke meant nothing. He fell with a loud thump, landing in a contorted position that could be seen clear as day, even though he was in a black fucking body bag. I immediately stepped toward him, wanting to lay my brother in a more peaceful position. I didn't take a second step before my father punched me in the damn face. My head whooshed back as I stumbled. He gripped the front of my shirt, jerking me forward, getting right up in my face. "Prez, come on, that's enough," Stone coaxed. "Yeah, Prez, leave him alone. He's been through enough," Diesel added.
You listen, good boy," Dad clenched, ignoring the brother's pleas. "I don't give two shits about you or what you're feeling. You're lucky I'm saving your sorry ass from serving a life sentence in prison for murder, you ungrateful dick. When I tell you to do something, you fucking do it. You understand me? I won't hesitate to remind you of your fucking place in my clubhouse."
He took one last look and pushed me back, stepping over Luke's body to climb out of the hole. He instantly turned to yank me up by my arm, throwing me to the dirt. I tried crawling to my feet, but he didn't falter, chucking the shovel right at my face. The rusted metal caught my mouth, causing me to spit out blood. I shook it off, getting up on unsteady legs, trying my hardest to stand up straight. My shame. My remorse. My guilt. Couldn't hold me up any longer. I could have taken him. I could have fought back, defended myself, but I deserved everything he was dealing out and more. I deserved it all. I picked up the shovel once again, letting the dirt fall over Luke. I buried my brother that night with only the light of the moon shining above me. The next day, I watched my mother fall apart on the ground that her son lay beneath. I watched her once again being torn from the makeshift grave, kicking and screaming for God to give back her baby. I watched my father not give a fuck about the scene playing out in front of him, and the MC brothers shake their heads at the lack of sympathy he had for both his sons and his wife. From that day forward, I carried the pain that I murdered my brother. I carried the agony of not being able to say goodbye to him in the depths of my core. Every day I found myself at the train tracks by the clubhouse, wanting nothing more than to just disappear, finding myself in the middle of nowhere, relishing the freedom, waiting, thinking, contemplating the past, the present, the future, then, now, forever, my fucking life. Wishing I could get on the next train and never look back, but it was just that, a wish, a glimmer of hope outside the bullshit that was my life, except I still had nowhere to think about more than ever before. Every time I looked in his eyes, I was reminded of Luke, reminded of what I had done to him. Maybe that was my punishment. Being responsible for my brother in ways I had never been before. With each passing day, I felt the same guilt I did the day I took my brother's life. Mistakes and regrets. Choices and decisions. Life and death. It all blended together in an array of colors that painted a scary picture. There was no looking back. I couldn't even bring myself to go where Luke was buried. Knowing that I was the only one to blame for putting him to ground.
Chapter 5. Creed. I tilted my head and watched the storm clouds above, waiting for the heavens to unleash their fury upon me.
witnessing flashes of light and strike in the distance, the smell of rain potent in the air as the wind brushed over my ink skin, cooling me from the heat. Three loaded blasts from my surroundings as a train rolled into town, sounding its horn to make its presence known, tearing me away from my thoughts. I watched as each massive steel car blurred by with hints of daylight shining in through the gaps. I sat there, contemplating jumping on till it's too late. The very last train car made its way out of my hellhole and into the next, taking the future I wanted so fucking badly with it, leaving me behind to deal with everyone else's bullshit, when all I wanted to do was drown in the storm. While I was off pondering, leaving town on a daily basis since Luke's death 6 months ago, my mother regularly drowned herself in a pint of vodka, letting death become her, add another life to my tally. Hers. My father's verbal abuse became worse toward her each day that passed, becoming more of a monster than he already was. She had paid the price of losing a child. She didn't deserve his goddamn hateful words, too. He never even mourned his own flesh and blood. As promised, a few days after I turned 18, 2 months ago, I was patched in as a brother. The members went to church that day, taking a vote on which prospects had earned the right to be patched in. The decision was unanimous. I signed my life away with my fucking blood, how my father always wanted it, signifying my right into the devil's rejects. It was announced in the national run that I was a fully patched in member. My father ripped off my prospect patch and handed me my colors, which consisted of the club logo, the crescent-shaped red patch with Devil's Rejects on it, and the other crescent patch of the red Southport. Patching me in, a look of pride spread across his face, eagerly awaiting my reaction. I met his eyes, shook his hand, and just fucking nodded, showing him exactly what it meant to me. Not one fucking thing. Brothers all pulled me in for hugs, patting my back, dousing me in beer, welcoming me with open arms, committing my life and loyalty to the club. Beginning a new chapter in my life when all I wanted was to end the last one. The moment I put Luke to ground was the last time any of the brothers, including Pops, spoke about what happened, about what I had done, as if Luke had never even existed. The only reminder I ever had were my mother's tears and ramblings when she was shit-faced. Everyone who witnessed that night go down were sworn to silence, threatened to keep their fucking mouths shut, using violence to cover up injustice by any means necessary. After I received the official tap on my back, branding me as a member, it was official. I was a devil's reject. I had the logo etched in my skin for life to fucking prove it. And that went on with his usual festivities of drugs, booze, and whores. I sat at the bar alone, wanting nothing more than to get the fuck out of there. Still seeing Luke's lifeless body lying right beneath my feet. It didn't matter. Nothing did anymore. I was stuck there whether I liked it or not. Pops even gave me the pick of the litter of whores, but I didn't give a fuck about that. No matter what I did or said, it wouldn't stop him from throwing pussy in my lap, making sure I got my dick wet. I had my first threesome that night, two fucking chicks at once. I should have been on top of the world, not hoping I was buried under it. After driving around aimlessly for hours, I decided to pull off the road, just after 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I knew of a small restaurant, on the water, in the heart of Oak Island, North Carolina, a small beach town just outside of Southport where my kind never drifted. That never stopped me before. Locals could judge me all they fucking wanted, and I wouldn't ever give a shit. I pulled into the lot, parking a few spots from a black SUV, where a woman with long brown hair stepped out arguing with someone in the back seat, catching my attention. Suddenly, the back door opened, revealing a little girl that couldn't have been more than 8 or 9 years old, throwing her hands up in the air, mumbling under her breath as her mama came around to get her. I cut the engine on my bike, took off my helmet, and grabbed the pack of smokes from my cut. Smacking the bottom of the new pack, I pulled out a cigarette and lit up. She was wearing a light yellow summer dress with bathing suit straps peeking out underneath it. Her hair was in braided pigtails with matching yellow bows. What caught my attention the most were the huge aviator sunglasses on her tiny face, sporting them like she was grown.
Mama, why couldn't I just buy the pink bikini? I hate this stupid black one-piece bathing suit Daddy said I had to buy.
Little girl whined.
I was perfectly happy with the bikini. It was pretty and cute. And I would just look like a boy. This isn't fair. Totally sucks balls. Mia Ryder, how many times do I have to tell you not to talk like that?
Her mom reprimanded her.
Apparently more than once. Mason says it's all the time and you don't yell at him. Ugh, what am I going to do with you? You can start by letting me buy that bikini. I'm not a baby anymore. Daddy needs to understand I'm going to be 10 soon. That's almost 2 whole hands, double digits.
Mia emphasized, holding up her small fingers in the air. Her mama chuckled, shaking her head.
You'll always be your daddy's baby girl. He's never going to let me grow up. He already scared off all the boys in my class. Even the cute ones, Mama. Uncle Dylan and Uncle Jacob aren't any better. Telling my reading partner, Phil, I couldn't come to the phone because I was pooping.
She held her arms out to her sides.
I wasn't even pooping. Who is the mature one here? Me. No one lets me do anything. It sucks. Balls.
She sighed and I resisted the urge to laugh my ass off. This kid's a spitfire.
You are too young to be this boy crazy. Now stop your fussing. We're short-staffed today. Lori called in sick. Aunt Lily is even coming in early to wait tables.
Mia hopped out of the SUV, shutting the door behind her.
Well, you going to go surf or stand here and pout all day?
Her mom asked, cocking her head to the side.
I'll think about it,
she replied, sitting on the curb pouting. Her mama just shook her head, ruffling up her hair as she walked inside. I got off my bike, taking a few more drags off my cigarette before throwing it to the asphalt, using the toe of my boot to stub it out. When I looked up, I had two big bright blue eyes staring me down, her head cocked to the side with her arms resting on her knees. Her sunglasses were now hanging in her hands.
You some sort of celebrity?
Mia questioned. I chuckled, shaking my head no.
Wow. You look like one of those guys from a television show my daddy watches. Sons of a Bitches or something like that.
I laughed so hard my head fell back. I couldn't remember the last time I laughed like that.
Anyway.
She shrugged me off.
He doesn't know I watch the show. I sneak down into the theater room and peek through the door crack. The guy with long blonde hair is cute. I really like him.
I just nodded, trying like hell not to bust out laughing again, thinking to myself, damn, her parents would have their hands full of this'n.
Do you have a voice? Or do you just do the shake and nod thing like you're too cool?
I grinned, walking over to her. She looked up at me, shielding her eyes from the sun, waiting for my answer. I talk. I just don't talk to strangers, sweetie. I winked, walking past her, opening the door, leaving her there wide-eyed. I found a table in the far corner, away from judgment. The place wasn't too busy yet, but I still had suspicious eyes on me.
Hi there,
the waitress greeted.
I'm Lily, the entertainment turned waitress today. What can I get you to drink?
She eyed me up and down. Water.
You're not from around these parts, are you?
She asked, tapping her pen on the order pad. What gave me away? The motorcycle out front? My cut? My tattoos? Or is it just my overly rugged good looks? She laughed.
Actually, it was the Southport patch on your vest. Dead giveaway.
Entertainment, huh? What sort of entertainment do you do? From the looks of the place, you ain't a stripper. Could be a comedian, but I'm gonna go with musician. You're tapping the hell out of that pen to the beat of the music playing right now. I paused, arching an eyebrow. Hot or cold?
Very hot.
Why, thank you. She laughed again, throwing her head back.
You're good. Well played, Creed,
she said, pointing her pen to my name patch.
You best contain that flirting around here, though. I'm a married woman, and this is my sister-in-law Alex's place. I'd hate for you to have a run-in with the good old boys. My brother Lucas will lose his shit, and my husband won't be too far behind.
Is that right? Thanks for the warning, darling, but I can hold my own. She smiled.
I'll be right back with that water.
I spent the next hour eating, bullshitting with Lily, and watching the surfers come in and out the back, wondering if the little girl Mia was out there. I wandered out the back, finding a place to sit, removed my socks and boots, digging my toes into the sand, trying to remember the last time I was at the beach. It had been forever. Ma used to take us all the time when we were little to play with Autumn. She was a daughter of my mom's best friend, Laura, and they lived in Southport just a few miles away from us. My mother, Laura, and their other best friend, Stacy, were all originally from New York. Growing up together in Manhattan until Stacy moved to North Carolina her sophomore year of high school. Autumn's parents got a divorce a few years back. That's when Laura decided to move her and Autumn to Southport to be near my mom and Stacy, needing the support while going through a nasty divorce. Autumn's father, Carl, was the chief of the New York Fire Department. He still lived there in Manhattan, so she went back to stay with him often. She had always been a daddy's girl, even though her parents weren't together. That never changed. I know Autumn all my life. We'd grown up together. Our birthdays only a few months apart. We spent family vacations, summers, and holidays with one another in North Carolina or New York every chance we got. It was the only time I ever felt somewhat like a normal kid. I always looked forward to hanging out with her. Mom wasn't the only one thrilled when they upped and moved here. I sat there in the sand for I don't know how long, watching the waves crash on the shore, spotting Mia, the little girl from the restaurant, fucking slaying the waves. I couldn't take my eyes off of her, memorized how something so small could ride the waves like she did and not be swallowed up by the ocean. She clearly had no fucking fear, beating grown-ass men, stealing their waves, and cutting them off without blinking an eye. Paddling way out beyond the save points, owning the waves that they were her bitches, falling and getting right back up. She had me grinning like a goddamn fool, laughing every time she'd fuck someone over, making them crash and burn. It was probably the first time in 6 months I felt something more than remorse, shame, and sadness. That 9-year-old killing waves was the breath of fresh air I needed, even if it only lasted for a little while. After about an hour kicking ass, a short stack emerged from the water, dragging her huge-ass bright pink board that was easily twice her size under her arm. Pigtails bouncing in the breeze, she made her way up the beach, heading in my direction. I couldn't help but laugh at the sight of her.
What are you laughing at, punk?
Mia stopped right in front of me, dropping her board to the sand as she placed her hands on her little hips, cocking her head to the side, barely blocking the sun with her tininess. I raised my hands in the air, surrendering them as I continued to laugh my ass off. Not the shrimp that just carted an adult-sized board up the beach, most likely not the little Spitfire who is blocking my sun, and definitely not the baby girl who has a sticker on her board that says Surfer Bitch with bright pink lips. I pointed to one of many stickers that covered her board. Your mama know you have that?
Whoa, you do speak.
She shifted her weight to the other hip, sassing me.
I guess we're not strangers anymore.
Ignoring my question, plopping down in the sand next to me. How long you been surfing like that? She tapped her index finger to her lips, thinking.
Since forever. It's in my blood. My daddy had me on a board as soon as I could walk. I'm better than both of my brothers. I'm better than all my cousins. I'm pretty sure I'm better than anyone in Oak Island. Maybe even the world.
I struggled, trying not to laugh again, nodding my response, looking back out at the waves. I lacked her confidence, cocky but in a sweet way. There wasn't enough of that in the world.
Why are you so sad?
She questioned out of nowhere, randomly shifting gears like most women did, unable to focus on one subject at a time. Why are you so nosy? I glanced over at her.
Duh, I'm a girl,
she replied, rolling her eyes.
Do you collect patches?
She pointed to my cut, once again moving on to her next question. Not collect, I earn.
Oh, like a Girl Scout, how cool! I have over 100 on my sash. My mama says I have to stay in Girl Scouts because it will build me into a courageous, confident girl, even though I already have all that. I was born awesome. Plus, I don't know how sitting around a campfire singing Kumbaya whatever will give me anything but mosquito bites. But hell, what do I know?
Guess your daddy with that mouth? I chuckled. She shrugged.
My brothers talk like that all the time. My first word was shit.
She smiled, proud of herself.
Daddy yells at them, but they never listen. They get away with everything because they're boys. Personally, I think that's stupid. Girls are way better than boys. We're smarter, we smell nicer, and if it weren't for girls, boys wouldn't even be here. So boom!
She exclaimed, making her hand explode.
Anyway, I'm a brownie now, so I have so many patches. I have the perfect one for your sash.
I threw my head back laughing. This kid was too much.
What? You don't like brownies? I know for a fact boys like brownies. My daddy loves them, my brothers love them, and my uncle loves them, too. Even that boy who picks on me in class loves them. He's always trying to steal mine. Daddy says if I ever give him my brownie, he will hurt him. He said he used to eat all kinds of brownies all the time, and Mama didn't like that very much. So then he started to eat just hers.
She had me laughing so damn hard, my side's starting to hurt. Don't think he meant... Never mind. You always talk this much?
Oh, let me get you my patch before I forget.
He grabbed her pink backpack that was nestled in the sand next to her. Didn't take much to realize this baby girl liked pink. She rummaged around for a few seconds, finally finding what she wanted. Throwing her backpack to the side, she turned to fully face me.
This is from me to you,
she beamed.
So you can always remember me. I'll always remember you, okay?
She handed me her patch.
That's my courage patch. You can have it since I already have enough of that to go around. Can you put it next to this one?
She pointed to my honor patch.
I think they'll look good together.
I was taken aback. I didn't know what to say or what to fucking feel. No one had ever given me anything like this before. No one ever cared enough. I looked from her to the patch in my hands, fumbling around and just nodded, unable to form the words to express the sense of love I felt from this little girl I had only just met.
You're gonna answer my question?
No, you're a baby girl. Wouldn't understand.
Who are you calling? Creed?
A familiar voice interrupted Mia. I looked up to see Autumn walking over to me. I stood brushing the sand from my pants. Damn, ain't you a sight for sore eyes, I greeted, pulling her into a hug. I hadn't seen Autumn since before Luke died. I'd been avoiding her, not wanting the sympathy and compassion I knew she would provide. I didn't fucking deserve it.
I'm so sorry about Luke,
she whispered in my ear, squeezing me tighter. My happy mood suddenly seeped into the sand between us. Mere mention of Luke's name threatened to bring me down, but I wouldn't let it. I quickly shook off the unease and pulled away, giving her a half-smile. Mia cleared her throat from behind me, bringing my attention back to her. She's given Autumn the evil eye, a look I was more than familiar with when it came to women. She may have been just a kid, but that didn't stop the jealousy she may have been feeling. I winked at her for a reason I couldn't explain. I wanted her to have the reassurance she needed, immediately feeling protective over her. Mia, a voice yelled out, causing her to startle. How many damn times do I need to tell you not to cut off other surfers? I turned, following the voice, seeing Mesa come run up behind Autumn.
It isn't my fault y'all are slower than molasses,
Mia responded, shrugging him off. You're lucky you're a little girl. Stealing waves like that could get your ass kicked.
Well, lucky for me, I can outrun your asses.
Watch your mouth, Mason shouted, coming up to her, turning his attention away from her when he saw me. Creed, I didn't know you were heading down today. He dropped his board, pulling me in for a side hug, patting my back. Been too long, brother. I see you met my baby sister, Mia, he said, nodding to a very pissed-off little girl. She your baby sister? Makes sense now. Got a mouth on her, like you.
Baby? Who are you all calling a baby?
Mia stood, placing her hands on her hips.
Creed, this is my big but not better brother, Mason,
she declared, rolling her eyes. Don't like your brother? I chuckled.
No. He is mean to me. No, he is mean to me.
Not mean, Mia. I'm just watching out for you like any big brother would.
I don't need anyone looking out for me. I can take care of myself. Where's Giselle? Go find your girlfriend and let me be.
She countered, only looking at Autumn. I shook my head, stifling a laugh. I know Mason as long as I known Autumn. His mom was Stacy, my mother's other best friend. I'm not gonna lie, at first we fucking hated each other, trying to prove who was the alpha dog before our fucking balls had even dropped. It was touch and go for the longest time, but as we got older, we became close friends. Went to the same school, that was, when we decided to actually go. Mason was the poster child for being a fucking rebel, a punk ass that did the opposite of everything his parents told him to. Other than school, Mason and I would hang out when he'd be at his mom's, smoking weed, drinking, fucking around with girls, and getting into trouble. Autumn was never too far behind us, joining our festivities. Giselle, his girl, came into the picture a few years ago. She was the daughter of a narcotics detective who had more than a few run-ins with the MC. Her father was tight with Mason's old man, Lucas, which is why we never made our relationship known to his dad and stepmom, Alex. I never formally met either of them, probably never would. Mason's parents never married. They had a complicated relationship. Rough start, but they found a way to co-parent and make it work. Stacy was like us, from the wrong side of the tracks. She passed no judgment. Alex and Lucas, though, were a different story. They would never approve of their boy hanging anywhere near someone like me, especially not with the son of devil's rejects, Prez.
Mia, Daddy's here to get you. Grab your things, baby girl.
Her mama called out from the restaurant.
I am not a baby,
she mumbled under her breath, grabbing her board, peering up at me.
See you around?
I nodded, and a big smile spread across her face before she turned and left. I would learn through the years of Mia Ryder. Mia fucking Ryder. Well, I would live and die for her.
Chapter 6. Mia. Happy birthday, dear Mia. Happy birthday to you. Everyone finished singing, clapping their hands, hooting and hollering.
I blow out your candles, baby girl,
Dad said, swiping my hair back, nodding toward my chocolate surfer-themed cake, complete with a girl riding a pink board like mine that Mama had specially made for my 10th birthday. Shutting my eyes as tight as I could, I bit my bottom lip, placing my hands in prayer gesture out in front of me, concentrating really hard, focusing all my efforts on my birthday wish. I blew out all the candles in front of my family, silently hoping it would come true.
What did you wish for?
Aunt Lily asked. If I tell you, then it won't come true. And I really want it to come true. I blushed just thinking about it. I opened my presents next while everyone ate a slice of cake on the back patio. My favorite present was the guitar Aunt Lily got me. She had been teaching me how to play for the last few years, and I was getting pretty good. I told my parents I didn't want a birthday party, but Mama wasn't having it. She said it was my first birthday in the double digits, and we needed to celebrate. I just think it was another excuse for her to throw a party. She loved to entertain. If it were up to me, we would have just had my family over for a barbecue. But instead, our backyard was decked out with pink balloons, streamers, and a giant bouncy house. I didn't have a lot of friends, but it never bothered me since I had so many cousins. Our ages were scattered all over the place, but that never mattered. We got along just fine. We were all born and raised together in Oak Island, just like our daddies and my mama, who were all best friends since they were in diapers. Everyone called them the good old boys, with their half pint, my mama, following them around like she was a boy, too. Looking at her now, I would never have guessed she wanted to be a boy. My daddy and Aunt Lily were brother and sister. She was married to one of the boys, Uncle Jacob. They had two kids, Riley and Christian. Aunt Lily always told me that Daddy didn't like that Uncle Jacob fell in love with his baby sister. They kept their love a secret for a long time, and when Daddy found out he was with Aunt Lily, he beat him up. Uncle Jacob says he let him win, but Daddy says he's just a pansy-ass lawyer who was just trying to save face, whatever that meant. Uncle Dylan, another one of the boys, was married to Aunt Aubrey. He reminded me of a superhero, always carrying a gun and a badge, putting bad people behind bars. They had two daughters, Giselle, and a newborn baby named Constance. Everyone says God blessed him with girls as punishment for being such a womanizing asshole. I don't know what that means either, but my mama says I'm not allowed to repeat that. My brother Mason started dating Giselle. They had been boyfriend and girlfriend forever, and I really loved her. I caught them kissing in Mason's room a few times, but didn't tell on him because I'm not a snitch. I just made him take me places with him for a week to keep my lips sealed. Of course he did. Uncle Austin was the last good old boy. He was covered in tattoos just like Creed was, and he owned a local tattoo shop. His girlfriend was Briggs, who had bright purple hair and tattoos all over her body, too. They were getting to know each other again. I guess Uncle Austin did some bad things, but he's better now and trying to win her back. I had a feeling he would. My daddy wasn't very happy when I asked if I could dye my hair my favorite color, bright pink. He looked at me like I had grown two heads before saying no. When I told him I wanted to get my pink surfboard tattooed on my foot, he said not while he's alive and breathing. Daddy didn't let me do anything. Ever. I didn't care that some of my cousins weren't blood related. They were the only family I'd ever known. I loved each of them with all my heart. Daddy, can I go to the Southport 4th of July festival with Mason next month? I asked, while helping Mama clean up after everyone had left.
Mia, I already told you no,
he replied, not looking up from the blueprint in front of him on the kitchen counter. My daddy owned his own construction company and was the best damn contractor in the tri-state area. His words, not mine. Yeah, but I asked you when I was 9. Newsflash, I'm 10 now.
The answer, still no, Mia. Watch that lip, young lady.
Why? It's not fair. You said Bo could go with Mason if he wanted. Last I checked, Bo is only 2 years older than I am, I argued, throwing the dishes into the sink a little harder than I should have.
That's different,
Dad simply stated, still focused on work. Why? Because he has a wiener?
Mia Ryder, you cannot say stuff like that,
Mama shouted, walking back into the kitchen. I could hear Mason and Bo laughing their butts off over the movie they were watching from the living room. I rolled my eyes, frustrated. Daddy sighed, dropping his pencil and finally looking up from his paperwork.
Mason, Bo, how many times do I have to tell you to stop talking like that around your baby sister?
I'm not a baby, I yelled, stomping my foot. Mason came strolling into the room, his hair all messy from Giselle scratching his head on the couch.
Dad, she's like a damn parrot,
he called himself.
Most of the time, I don't even realize she's around till it's too late.
He opened the fridge, grabbing the jug of milk, and started drinking right from the carton.
Mason Ryder, where are your manners, boy?
Mama reprimanded.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want some?
He held up the carton to her. She gave him a look that had him putting it right back in the fridge.
Daddy, I could have said the word dick like he does, but I use wiener instead because I'm a lady.
Mason busted out laughing, quickly clearing his throat when Daddy gave him a stern look.
And this is exactly why you're not going to the festival with Mason and his foul-mouthed friends,
he justified. Lucas, Mama coaxed.
Half pint. Don't start, my baby girl.
Our baby girl, she interrupted, looking over at him as she loaded the dishwasher. I'm not a baby, I repeated much louder that time, smacking my hand on the counter, needing to have my voice heard. It's not fair, Daddy. You know all you're doing is pushing me away. I'm going to start doing things without asking you first because you never let me do anything. I'm not always going to be your baby girl. He cocked his head to the side.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I knew I was pushing his buttons. I knew I was crossing the line. I knew I was going to get in trouble. I just didn't care anymore. Mia, go to your room, Mama ordered, looking from Daddy to me. Not only punishing me, but saving me from my daddy's wrath.
Dad, she can come with me,
Mason chimed in.
I'll make sure everyone is on their best behavior.
My heart soared. Mason never stuck up for me before. That alone meant everything to me. I smiled at him.
Your mom and I will be out of town during the festival. Mia's staying with Lily and Jacob. She won't.
I don't want. Time out, Mama interrupted all of us. Everyone out. But...
Mia, now!
Dad roared, bringing my attention back to him. Fine, I mumbled under my breath, turning to leave the room, resisting the urge to slam my door once I walked into my bedroom. I grabbed my notebook off my desk and made my way through the double doors out onto my balcony that overlooked the water. I spent the next few hours sitting in my lounger under the moon, listening to the soft lull of the waves crashing into the shore, welcoming the salty breeze coming off the ocean. The water always had a way of calming me, no matter what I was feeling or going through. It was my happy place, my own piece of heaven, my escape. I should have been in bed sleeping like everyone else in my house, but it was summer break, and I didn't have a bedtime. I was a night owl anyway. Always had been. I scribbled thoughts, lyrics, and doodles in my notebook for I don't know how long, finding myself writing Creed's name in bubble letters and practicing my cursive over and over again, surrounding his name with pink hearts on every page, suddenly realizing I had my first crush. I snuggled into my throw blanket, looking up at the stars, wondering if my birthday wish would magically come true, wishing again that it would. I yawned, my eyes growing tired from the long day I'd had. I was about to go inside and go to bed when my window shook from Mason's bedroom door shutting. His room was next door to mine, and I could hear everything. He must have just gotten home. I picked up my notebook, looking back out at the water one last time when I saw him. He was walking away from my house toward the ocean, wearing the same vest he had on the last time I saw him. I immediately wondered if he was wearing the courage patch I gave him a few months ago. I giggled at the sight of him wearing his combat boots on the sand. He stopped at the shoreline, looking up at the sky, placing his hands in the pockets of his black jeans. He looked as huge and stocky as I remembered, maybe even bigger. Before I gave it a second thought, I ran into my room, grabbing my backpack and digging around in it, grabbing what I was looking for and my throw off my bed. It was chilly out on the water. I slipped out of my bedroom quietly, being extra careful not to wake anyone. I'd be in big trouble if my daddy woke, since I wasn't allowed to leave the house by myself after dark. In my defense, I wasn't going to be alone. Creed was on the beach. I snuck out the back patio doors, closing them gently behind me, walking down the steps onto our private piece of beach. No one would be able to see us without trespassing. He had to have come in with Mason. My wish came true, I shouted over the noise of the waves.
Ain't it past her bedtime?
He coldly said, not turning around to face me. Didn't you hear me? I asked, wrapping the throw around my shoulders. My wish came true. You're here. He abruptly turned, narrowing his eyes at me, taken back by my confession. I continued on. It was my birthday today. Well, yesterday, seeing that it's after midnight. Anyway, before I blew my candles out, I got to make one wish. I closed my eyes tight, wishing I would see you again, and here you are.
Shouldn't be wishing for me, Pippin,
he stated, turning his attention back to the water. Pippin? He suddenly turned back around, reached over, and tugged on the end of one of my braided pigtails. Oh, like Pippi Longstocking. She was like Peter Pan for girls. Never wanting to